In the year 1991, U.S. Flight 1313 soared unknowing unto its death. As the vessel sank into the ocean's depths, three boys washed ashore on Skull Face Island. Near death, pursued by vicious creatures, the boys stumbled upon shelter. Who built it and for what purpose, none could say. But, to their shock and amazement, a 55-inch TV glowed within, streaming every movie ever made.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
What the hell is this?
You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
After 20 years struggling for survival, they managed to repair the shelter's communication device. Perhaps someday, they'll be rescued. But until then, they'll watch and discuss movies, hoping, praying you're listening.
Hello there, this is Adam Frazier, and you are listening to Skull Face Island, the official movie podcast of geeksofdoom.com. As always, I'm joined by the toad to my wet sprocket, David Allen.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
And the island's foremost expert on vintage racquetball goggles, producer Tim Grant.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Today on the show, we'll discuss recent casting news for the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy film and Christopher Nolan's latest Interstellar. We'll also review John Chu's new film, G.I. Joe Retaliation, as well as Danny Boyle's film, Trance. But first, it's time for our Skull Face Selects, also known as our Picks of the Week. David, your pick.
My pick this week is very simple. It is the entire series of Doctor Who.
Okay.
Which is streaming on Netflix, and Season 7 Part 2 just started on BBC, and this is the 50th anniversary of the series. So,
all right. Sounds great. My pick is Bioshock Infinite, the latest installment in Ken Levine's Bioshock series. Developed by Irrational Games, Bioshock Infinite is set in 1912, where former Pinkerton agent Booker DeWitt must rescue a mysterious girl from Columbia, a city in the clouds suspended by giant blips and balloons. This is one of the most satisfying narratives I've experienced in a video game, and it's now available on PC, Xbox 360, and PS3, so check it out. Tim?
My pick this week is the indigenous passion fruit of the eastern coast of our island.
That's a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, sure.
It's just so delicious. Yeah. It's very juicy, succulent. It has a hint of, this is going to sound weird, it has a hint of peach ice cream. Do you guys taste that when you eat it? Like peach ice cream that you get at like a convenience store, you know, when you were a kid? Anyone?
Maybe. Have you been drinking that tea again?
No. This is I mean, a lot of fruits will taste like ice cream. I'm not lying.
I think that those ice creams taste like fruits.
Well, I don't know. That's a chicken or the egg kind of a thing.
That's true. We don't know which came first.
That's true. Ice cream or fruit.
Yeah. So that's my pick. Bill Pullman, if you're listening, there's a great fruit out on Skull Face Island. I know you love fruit. So come try to find us.
Wow. Those are great picks. Be sure to check them out.
Weird
stuff. Tim, flip the switch on the Geek-O-Matic, please. All right, David, what's our first headline?
Our first headline is Zoe Saldana and Michael Rooker cast in Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right. Zoe Saldana of Avatar and the new Star Trek series is in negotiations to join the cast of Marvel Studios' intergalactic epic Guardians of the Galaxy as Zamora, the green-skinned adopted daughter of supervillain Thanos and the last of her species.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, The Walking Dead's Michael Rooker will play Yondu Yodonta, a game hunter of a primitive tribe native to Centauri IV, who joins the Guardians. He'll actually be playing a good guy.
It looks like Saldana and Rooker are going to be joining Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation fame as Star-Lord, as well as former WWE superstar Dave Bautista as Drax the Destroyer. Currently, James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be coming out on August 1st, 2014.
Awesome. What's our next headline?
Looks like the next headline is also some other casting news. Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway confirmed for Christopher Nolan's sci-fi epic Interstellar.
Originally inspired by the theories of theoretical physicist and gravitational physicist and astrophysicist Kip Thorne.
Yeah, everybody knows Kip Thorne.
He's a badass.
Everybody knows him.
Tri-physics.
Yeah.
What?
He's a tri-physicist.
Tri-physicist.
Oh my God.
Strong.
Yeah, strong.
Is that like when you get like three quesadillas and it's trace-a-dillas?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? It's weird
that
new to me.
It's weird because when I get three trace-a-dillas, which is
what is that?
What, three trace-a-dillas?
That's nine total.
No, that's nueva-dillas.
Nueva-dillas.
Which is about how many days you're going to spend on a toilet, probably.
And they all taste like peach ice cream.
No, peach ice cream tastes like nueva-dillas.
Yes. All right, look, damn it. Interstellar was initially developed by Steven Spielberg, but Christopher Nolan took over and has decided to make the film his follow-up to The Dark Knight Rises, which explains the crossover with Anne Hathaway. There's no idea who McConaughey or Hathaway are going to play in the film, but the synopsis states it depicts a heroic interstellar voyage to the furthest borders of our scientific understanding and should feature explorers who travel through a wormhole.
Hmm.
That's it for the news, Tim.
Yep, that is it.
Directed by John M. Chu, who did Step Up 3D, G.I. Joe Retaliation is the sequel to Stephen Sommers' abysmal 2009 film G.I. Joe: The Rise of Cobra. After a devastating terrorist attack, Roadblock, played by The Rock, and his fellow G.I. Joes must contend with threats from within their government, all while battling their mortal enemy, Cobra. Also ninjas.
Today, the world's elite fighting force betrayed our nation. On my orders, the G.I. Joes were terminated with extreme prejudice.
They're all dead.
We were set up right from the start. We're all that's left.
So at the conclusion of the first film, Zartan, who's played by Arnold Vosloo, had his physical appearance altered by nanomites.
I hate it when that happens.
And he infiltrated the White House and assumed the identity of the President of the United States of America, who in this case is played by Jonathan Pryce.
Mm-hmm.
John Chu's sequel begins with Zartan in control of the government, and the master of makeup and disguise frames the G.I. Joes as traitors and launches an all-out attack on the Joes, wiping out their ranks, including Channing Tatum's Sergeant Duke. I don't think that's a spoiler. I think people should know that Channing Tatum wasn't going to be in this movie.
Right, right.
Meanwhile, Storm Shadow and Firefly, played by Ray Stevenson, infiltrate a top-secret subterranean prison to free Cobra Commander. Previously portrayed by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, as you may recall, the supreme leader of Cobra is played by Australian actor Luke Bracey, who I'm not familiar with at all, and voiced by Robert Baker, who I am also not familiar with at all. So there you go. Cobra Commander's plan is simple. Eliminate the world's stockpile of nuclear weapons so Cobra can rule the world unopposed by using Zeus, a suborbital weapon of mass destruction. You still with me?
Yep, yep.
That's twice as powerful as a nuclear bomb.
That's convenient.
Yeah. The remaining G.I. Joes, Roadblock, played by The Rock, Lady J, Adrian Palicki, Flint, DJ Catrona?
Corona?
Delicious.
Just call him DJ.
DJ. Like from Roseanne. Mm-hmm. It's actually DJ grown up. He's playing Flint. That's not true.
What?
And
spoiler.
And Snake Eyes, played by Ray Park, mm-hmm. they team up with General Joseph Colton, Bruce Willis, who is the original G.I. Joe, to stop Cobra Commander from implementing his plan.
Mm-hmm.
I hated the first G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Laughable.
Right.
But John Chu does a pretty admirable job here in making the film a sequel while at the same time essentially rebooting the franchise with The Rock as the male lead. And there's a Cobra Commander who actually looks like he just stepped out of the cartoon in this movie. And unfortunately, all that's missing is that shrill, high-pitched voice screaming, Cobra!
Wow. that was terrifying.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't do that again.
Cobra Commander, though, he has a little more bass in his voice this time around,
mm-hmm.
but he does manage to deliver a pretty great Destro diss. Destro shows up very briefly, and at one point Cobra says, Destro, you're out of the band. Out of the band? He made a band, a rock and roll reference, or a Tenacious D reference. Really, all you need to know about this movie is that there's a kick-ass action sequence involving ninjas
mm-hmm.
fighting on the side of a snow-covered mountain, zip-lining and bungee-jumping their way through canyons and running along cliff faces with their ninja swords drawn. I can only hope there's obviously going to be a sequel. I can only hope the third film in this franchise is called G.I. Joe, Night on Ninja Mountain.
Yeah.
And it features 110 minutes of nonstop ninja fights,
mm-hmm.
sweet-ass vehicles, and Cobra Commander just screaming at pointing at things.
Can I add something?
Yes.
The entire Wu-Tang Clan?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, the Wu-Tang Clan should be in the movie.
All right.
And before I get to my rating here, I just want to point out that G.I. Joe Night on Ninja Mountain may or may not be a sequel crossover to 1998's Three Ninjas : High Noon at Mega Mountain. You remember it. Lonnie Anderson, Hulk Hogan.
Love that movie.
I've got a rating here.
All right.
I hope you're ready.
I am. Hit it.
I'm the only one who saw this movie. I should preface
that's
that.
True. That's true.
Today's rating is brought to you by Taito's brand new Nintendo Entertainment System game for 1990, Wrath of the Black Manta.
Oh, cool.
Play as the Black Manta, a master assassin who uses throwing stars and special ninjutsu abilities called the Ninja Arts to stop evil mastermind El Toro and his gang of thugs. Now available at Roses, Hills, Maxway, and other fine department stores. That seems a little dated.
It does. I just
read the ad copy for that.
Right.
I obviously got paid to sponsor my rating.
So here's my question. Why did they leave Hastings off that list of department stores?
That's true. 1990. We should...
Hastings could be a boycott.
It's true.
It's got a point there.
Yo, Joe!
We'll fight for freedom. Wherever there's trouble, G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there. It's G.I. Joe.
Directed by Oscar-winning Slumdog Millionaire director Danny Boyle, with a script by Trainspotting and Shallow Grave screenwriter John Hodge, Trance is a psychosexual art heist film that stars James McAvoy, Vincent Cassell, and Rosario Dawson.
5% of the population can be described as extremely suggestible.
What can you make them do?
Anything. Simon, close your eyes. I want you to follow my voice.
I like your voice.
Imagine you're in a place where you feel secure, in control, and you feel so comfortable, so relaxed. All your problems.
Where is the painting?
I don't remember.
Seems so far away and so long ago.
I remember that day.
What we are is the sum of everything we've ever done, which is constantly being revised and remembered.
I know what you were going to do to me.
She put that memory there. It's not real.
James McAvoy, who you know from Atonement and Wanted, that's a joke, stars as Simon, a prominent art auctioneer struggling with a serious brain trauma after teaming with underworld crime boss Frank, played by Vincent Cassell, to steal Francisco Goya's Witches in the Air from an auction house. Simon tries unsuccessfully to double-cross Frank, who returns the favor by knocking Simon unconscious with a devastating blow to the skull, wiping out any memory concerning the whereabouts of this painting. Simon has no recollection of where he hid the stolen masterpiece, which forces Frank to enlist the talented hypnotherapist, Elizabeth, played by Rosario Dawson, mm-hmm. who everybody, of course, knows from Clerks 2, to try and pinpoint its location.
Oh, and Alexander.
Oh, there's an interesting crossover. I'm glad you mentioned Alexander. We'll come back to it. But the deeper Elizabeth probes into Simon's subconscious, the more complex and misleading, perhaps, the mystery becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Boyle's trance, it's every bit as gorgeous and absorbing as his previous films, like 28 Days Later, Sunshine, Slumdog Millionaire. And it fits within the director's body of work by following the same themes as his other films. Most of his films are about, you know, someone facing impossible odds and striving to overcome them. I guess that goes for pretty much anyone who makes a movie. But unlike his previous films, Trance seems pretty confounding. It feels frenetic and slapdash and really often kind of meaningless. And unlike Christopher Nolan's cerebral 2009 film Inception, Boyle's Trance, it fails to provide the proper setup to navigate this dreamy, hallucinatory narrative. And while it's consistently energetic and artful, and all the signatures are there of a Boyle film, the music, the Trance is still a bit of a mess, and it's really lacking structure and consistency. But of course, confusion is a key component of this film, and seeking to probe the deepest recesses of Simon's unconscious, Dawson's character puts the auctioneer into a series of hypnotic trances. And when this happens, Simon's imagination and his memories are blurred, creating alternate realities and these bizarre kind of fractured truths. And this is the point where the movie really just kind of spins out of control and descends into extreme violence. And the movie becomes this kind of, I don't know, it's like The Art of the Steal meets Nolan's Memento with a side of David Cronenberg's Scanners.
Interesting combination there.
Yeah.
Man, I'm confounded.
Oh, I see what you did there. Upped your vocabulary there.
thank you.
McAvoy, Dawson, and Cassell, they all deliver great performances, but the story switches back and forth far too much to be considered coherent or really satisfying at the end. As much as I wanted to like Boyle's latest film, it just doesn't hold up under much scrutiny. The thinly written script is the equivalent of Humpty Dumpty, David.
Whoa.
Shattered to smithereens and scattered throughout the movie's 101-minute runtime, not even Danny Boyle can put it back together again.
Wow.
That's right.
Nursery rhyme burn.
Nailed it.
Oh, my God.
Trance is a surreal dream. That upon waking makes little sense, even though it felt so real at the time. And it's a stimulating, you know, bit of suggestion on Boyle's part, but the film just isn't strong enough to keep you under its spell.
Wow.
So, I mean, I would say if you're a hardcore Danny Boyle fan, obviously you're going to see it anyway, but don't expect a brilliantly structured narrative. It just kind of gets lost in its own style.
Right.
So I feel like Boyle is really not known for brilliantly structuring anything.
Very though. True.
You know, I mean, like you've got Sunshine, which I love, especially the first two-thirds of it. And then the end, it's just like crazy. You know, I mean,
it does go a little mad.
I guess, what was that one with the kid? The kind of Christmassy one?
Millions.
Millions.
Millions. I mean, that's another example.
I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, I did too. But it does, you know, maybe to a certain degree, spin out of control a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even beyond those examples?
Yeah, I just think he's kind of out of his element here. Maybe he wanted to try something different, you know, I don't know. But this movie feels like Danny Boyle trying to be Christopher Nolan. My rating.
Yeah, I was wondering what your rating was.
Is one stolen painting.
Okay.
One clean-shaven vagina.
McAvoy's?
Okay.
And
wow.
One half-blown-up head. Let me talk about the shaved vagina for a second.
Please. I knew you were going to go.
This is the obviously the Alexander reference because Rosario threw out some full frontal nudity in that movie.
Really?
That's all I remember about
it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. that's all I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost watched the director's cut just to see what else was going on. But this isn't a spoiler, but James McAvoy's character is obviously an art dealer, auctioneer. He's obsessed with art. And there's this moment where he's talking about these classical paintings and he's pointing out that none of the nude figures have body hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling this to Rosario Dawson's character. And he's like, you know, it's this symbol of purity and blah, 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 and
right.
perfection and all this stuff. And then he points out that Francisco Goya kind of changed that and yeah. he put body hair on people and that kind of forever tainted the idea of whatever, perfection. So knowing this, there's a scene where literally Rosario Dawson and him are having a conversation. She gets up, leaves. She's like, I'll be right back. She goes to the bathroom, shuts the door. All you hear is the sound of hair clippers, of like a beard trimmer. Just a... I'm not even kidding. 2 minutes at least.
What? Okay.
She comes out, the camera is propped up right at crotch level, and she walks straight out of the bathroom naked, shaved vagina, all the way up to the camera pretty much. And it's the most pointless, irrelevant piece of nudity I've seen in a movie in a long time. I don't know what to make of that.
Wow.
Hmm.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Because he...
Yeah, it's too bad.
Even though his structure is... Yeah, it's a bummer. A little bummer that happened.
Bummer!
Even though his structures aren't normally, like, phenomenal by any means, I would say that he's normally not one to waste film.
Yeah.
Like, there's generally a point well, yeah. focus.
I mean, obviously, the whole thing so, I just laid out for you is what he's getting at, but...
No, but I'm actually a little yeah. bit more intrigued to see if, like, if there is some sort of, you know, application of that moment, because it does sound sort of weirdly
yeah, it's very
out
weird.
Of place. But oh well.
Well,
I guess he was due for one that didn't really hit the mark.
Yeah.
He's only got what, 10 great movies under his belt?
Yeah.
What an asshole.
Well, that does it for movie time. We need to take a time out to recognize the folks that keep the generators running and the restless natives at bay. Geeks of Doom has all the best geek-related scoops on comics, movies, television, and pop culture paraphernalia. Help us avoid certain death and visit geeksofdoom.com. Now, back to the show. Well, if you've been a regular listener to the show, you've no doubt noticed that we've been off the air for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, things aren't as peachy keen as they seem here on Skullface Island. We've actually been dealing with a lot of strange, some might say supernatural occurrences in the treehouse lately, which have actually prevented us from transmitting.
And if the poltergeist haunting our home entertainment system wasn't enough, our radio tower was damaged by an unknown entity along with my fleet of canoes, canoe cars, and, oh my God.
It's okay, Tim. Just let it out.
It's all right, Tim. Just
the prototype for my coconut helicopter. I'm so upset.
Travesty.
It's taken me so long.
You know, also, we haven't seen or heard from T'Challa in a couple of weeks, which, you know, could be seen as a blessing, I suppose, but
yeah.
There's clearly something wrong. The natural order of Skullface Island has been thrown off of balance. Damn it, it's the red phone again. I should have known that the Prince of Darkness himself was involved. David, go ahead and answer that for us.
Why me?
Well, Tim's a mess, and you're the closest.
Ugh, fine. All right. Hello?
Hey, Satan. Hope you're well. Look, we're having some issues here on the island, and we're wondering if...
Oh, yes. You are, of course, referring to the rising of the tides, the stench of death in the air, the disappearance of your beloved T'Challa and its native worshippers.
Well, yeah, actually, now that you mention it, we haven't seen the chief or anyone in quite a while.
Yeah, what's going on here? Satan, are you mad at us?
Mad? The Prince of Darkness does not get mad. But yes, actually, I am kind of miffed. I've decided to end your little lives and destroy your precious island.
No!
But why?
Haven't you ever wondered why you three idiots washed ashore on this island? Did it ever occur to you to question the origins of this technological terror you call a treehouse?
Well, I mean, not really.
Fools! Did you ever wonder why there's a telephone that acts as a direct line to Satan in your treehouse?
Well, yeah, actually, now that you mention it,
To quote the Big Lebowski, you three boys are out of your element. There's an ancient battle of good and evil being fought on this very island. And next week I'm coming to your pitiful little landmass and ending it once and for all. Explosion.
And he hung up.
An ancient battle of good and evil. What the hell is Satan talking about? Do you guys think the natives know what's up?
There's only one way to find out.
You don't mean.
I do. Guys, it's time. We must leave the treehouse and commune with the natives.
But with the canoe cars out of commission, we'll have to travel on foot. And guys, we have to stop by T'Challa's cave, by the way. I feel like it will play an integral part in the events to come.
I begrudgingly agree. Okay, let's go ahead and pack an overnight bag. Take only what you need with you. Adam, that means only 10 movies.
Fine.
And I'm going to start in the bathroom. You guys do what you're...
I'll go find Martin. We're going to need that little crazy robot bastard for this one, guys. I'm serious.
Well, that concludes another transmission from Skullface Island. As always, you can email us at skullfaceisland@gmail.com, tweet us at Skullface Island, and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Skullface Island. Guys, I don't like this. It sounds like things are coming to an end.
It really does, doesn't it? I can't believe Satan turned out to be such an asshole.
Really?
He seemed like kind of a nice guy. Like, we agreed on a couple things.
I know you guys had your little relationship going on for a little while.
That is true. Tim, did you break his heart?
No.
Oh, is that what happened?
No, that's not
it. Tim?
No. He broke up with me.
Timothy? Is everything all right in the bedroom?
Is that why you started drinking?